Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And we have another 30 minutes packed with words and music which will hopefully inspire you and move you and have you coming back for more. In fact, this programme is that more, for this is the follow-on to another recent programme entitled Favourite Bible Passages. So this is Favourite Bible Passages, Volume 2. And there might be more to come, I can warn you now. Who knows? But let's not run away with ourselves. Let's get started with this programme. I thought for this one, we could gather together favourite Bible passages all to do with Old Testament prophets. They were heroes of both the Jewish and the Christian faiths. People like Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Hosea. So let's start with a particular favourite of mine, Elisha, at the city of Dothan. The background to this is that Israel and Syria were at war, and the prophet in Israel, Elisha, was always giving his side a head start because he could seem to see what the Syrians were doing. If they picked their nose, he would know about it. And he kept warning the Israelites where to avoid their enemies or how to get the better of them. So the Syrians came one night to the city of Dothan with a view to capturing Elisha. They surrounded the city, and in the morning, Elisha's servant got up, opens the curtains, looks out, and he sees thousands and thousands of troops with the sun glinting off their shields. And he panics. "We are doomed, sir. What shall we do?" "Don't be afraid," Elisha answered. "We have more on our side than they have on theirs." And then he prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes. Let him see." The Lord answered his prayer, and Elisha's servant looked up and saw that the hillside was covered with horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. God's heavenly army had surrounded this earthly army. The secret of the calmness of Elisha is that he had the bifocal spectacles of faith. He could see the problem in the foreground, just like the servant, but he could also with faith see God's providence and care all around in the background. And if in our daily lives we can see our problems, but see beyond them that God is there to help us. You know the psalm, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes." If we can just lift up our eyes that bit out of the immediate and see God's care for us, we would have the same faith and the same strength that Elisha showed then. Here's a song by Don Francisco that is articulating this whole Bible story. There's more that stand on our side.
There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. A king who hated Israel was trying to win a war, but every move he made, it seemed that Israel knew before. Now it's not a spy inside our camp, his men explained one day. There's a prophet named Elisha, hears every word you say. They found out where Elisha lived, and the army marched that night. They surrounded all the city by the morning's early light. When Elisha's servant rose, he saw that army all around. And he said, "What are we gonna do? They're gonna cut us down." But Elisha told his servant, "Now don't give in to your fear. Those that are with us are more than all this army here." And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would have the sight required. And he saw God's mighty army with its chariots of fire. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The enemy moved toward the town, and Elisha prayed a prayer. Lord, strike them all with blindness, let confusion be a snare. God struck that whole army blind, and he brought them to defeat. The victory he gave that day was total and complete. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The eyes of God search all the earth to find each blameless heart, to show his power and faithfulness, to take his children's part. And though fear is all around you, don't you dare give in, 'cause the battle is the Lord's and he's the one who's gonna win. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see.
You're listening to 3TFM as we think about favourite Bible passages tonight, particularly with regard to the Old Testament prophets. Another great Old Testament prophet is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a very sensitive, gentle man, but God asked him to do a very rough and tough assignment. He told him to go to the people and say that they've been sinning, doing wrong, and they're going to get punished. In other words, I'm coming down on you like a ton of bricks. In the hope that they would repent, but God said, don't hold out any hopes. So in Jeremiah chapter 18, we read, "The Lord said to me," that's Jeremiah speaking, "go down to the potter's house, for I will give you a message. So I went there and saw the potter working at his wheel. Whenever a piece of pottery turned out imperfect, he would take the clay and make it into something else. Then the Lord said to me, haven't I the right to do with you people of Israel what the potter did with the clay? You are in my hands, just like clay in the potter's hands." And at funerals, we hand people back to God, you know, dust to dust. We are just little bits of dust, but God in his skill can take us and make us and mould us and shape us. And we in our arrogance decide that we prefer another shape and another job and another lifestyle, another way of doing it. God has the power to make us and break us and recreate us. The prophets are full of these practical, tangible illustration parables, and they're quite lovely and quite powerful. Here's a song by John Denver expressing that passage about the potter and his clay on the wheel.
Fast becoming younger, the news is all they've ever known. They've seen the wars that hurt the hunger. How will they choose when they are grown? What do you tell forever's children when it's their turn to hurt and heal? Whatever spins a grim tornado can also turn a potter's wheel. Take a little clay, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Tell with your life a bloody story, teach to their dreams they survive the potter's throw. Take a little blade, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Someday some children will be digging in some long forgotten ground, and they'll find our civilization, or what's left of it to be found. They'll find the weapons of destruction, but buried deeper in the hole, they'll find a message and a promise in the sand, the potter's bowl. Take a little blade, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Take a little blade, put it on a wheel, get a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want it in. Earth and water and wind conspire with human hands and love and fire. Take a little play, put it on a wheel, give a little hint how God must feel. Give a little turn, listen to it spin, make it in the shape you want.
Let's think about another prophet. This is Isaiah. He had a more comforting message to bring than Jeremiah. Listen to the comfort in these words. This is from Isaiah chapters 41 and 43. God is speaking through his prophet. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you. I am the Lord your God. I strengthen you, and I say, do not be afraid, I will help you. Small and weak as you are, Israel, do not be afraid, I will help you. I, the Holy God of Israel, am the one who saves you. And in chapter 43, do not be afraid, I will save you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burnt. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. You are precious to me. I love you and give you honor. Do not be afraid. I am with you. And here's St. Mary's guitar group from Saltcoat singing those words.
Do not be afraid. When you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. You will never sink beneath the waves.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
When the fire consumed by the flames,
do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine.
When the fear of loneliness is looming, then remember I am at your side.
Do not be afraid. called you by your name. You are mine.
When you dwell in the exile of a stranger, remember you are precious in my eyes.
Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name.
God used his prophets to communicate to his people. Sometimes they had to bring a very stern and harsh word like Jeremiah, sometimes a very comforting word like Isaiah there. Elijah, he had sort of both sides of the fence. His highest moment was on Mount Carmel. The people of Israel had been worshipping false gods, Baal and Asherah, the Canaanite gods. And God had got annoyed at this, and he sent his prophet to issue a challenge to the people. Don't go limping from pillar to post. Decide if God is God, worship him. If the false gods are your God, we'll go off with them. So they were called to heal, and on Mount Carmel, God sent fire from heaven and did a dramatic thing, and the people all decided, right, the idols are rubbish, we're going to follow God from now on. So this was Elijah's great moment. It was dramatic, miraculous, powerful, and it changed the people. But as in all our lives, sometimes after your highest moment, very quickly, it's followed by a low. The problem was, when he got rid of all the prophets of Baal and the false gods, Queen Jezebel wasn't too chuffed, so she came after Elijah to kill him. So Elijah had to flee for his life, because the queen, who had brought in all the false gods, she was trying to get rid of him for doing that to her blessed God, you know. So he's out in the wilderness, he's all alone, he's tired, he's wearied, and he just feels, what is the point? I've done my best. You can't do better than have the miracle from heaven. And now I'm running, trying to stay alive. So in his depression, if you read 1 Kings chapter 19, it's a beautiful articulation of how it feels to anybody who's depressed. But in his depression, God speaks to him. He comes to him not through the earthquake, the wind and the fire and the dramatic. He comes to him in the still whisper of a voice. And basically God just gives him a wee prod, picks him up off the deck and gives him strength. And he renews him and reinvigorates him. Here's Catherine Jenkins singing Dear Lord and Father of Mankind based on that passage.
Pure lives, thy service find in thee.
So we've been looking at the Old Testament prophets, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, and here's one, Ezekiel. This is a strange story, but I identify strongly with it. I love the idea that God and his man, Ezekiel in this case, have a wee conversation together, and God shows him things and teaches him through dramatic visual things, words that he can convey to the people when he gets back there to the pulpit on Sunday, you know? I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and set me down in a valley, where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all round the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones, and they were very dry. What's behind that is, imagine a battlefield, and the bones have been there a long time now. Maybe not the Battle of Bannockburn altogether, but he's in this battlefield, the dry bones. Do you ever feel sometimes that you mix with people that are a bunch of dry bones? Well, this is the great word for revival. God said to him, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" And I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." And he said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell the bones to listen to the word of the Lord." So on instruction, he prophesies, he tells the bones to come together. It doesn't quite work the first time, there's no breath in them. The second time, God breathes breath into these dry bones, and they stand up, and all the bones come together. It's a bit like that old spiritual song, the knee bone connected to the hip bone and all the rest. Standing before him is this mighty army. God has the power to revive even the deadest dead. It's a wonderful, encouraging story when you think of it that way. So here's a song by Michael Card, and it's all about this valley of dry bones.
Then prophesy, O Son of Man, cry out to this dead horde, and when they come to life again, they'll know I am the Lord. And as I spoke what I was told, there came a rattling sound. As bone to bone, they formed a mass upon thee slain to breathe. At once they stood upon their feet, a mighty vast army. A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all those dwelling in the dust will wake and shout for joy.
God spoke through his prophets. But more than that, God sometimes asked his prophets not just to say things, but to do things. And I'm glad it wasn't me in my time. He asked Isaiah to go around naked to show the people that that's how he could see through them and their stupid ways. He also asked the prophet Hosea to do a strange thing. He asked him to marry a woman, Gomer. Gomer, who was already a proven adulteress, prostitute even, he said, marry this woman and she will be unfaithful to you. I can tell you that now. That's the point. I am wedded to my people in Israel, but they're unfaithful to me. They run off after every silly little idol that's out there. Let me read it to you. The Lord said to me, go again and show your love for a woman who is committing adultery with a lover. You must love her just as I still love the people of Israel, even though they turn to other gods and like to take offerings to idols. There is no faithfulness or love in the land, and the people do not acknowledge me as their God. They make promises and break them. They lie, murder, steal, commit adultery. Crimes increase, one murder after another. You can feel for God, but you can feel for his prophet. He's got to go and marry this woman. And it's going to be a horrible marriage, just so he can show his people how they've been misbehaving to him. Well, so far, God hasn't asked me to go around naked or marry folk like Gomer, but you never know. Anyway, our time's run out, so I want to leave you with Michael Card singing the song of Gomer. Till the next time, bye for now. Giving me
my name.